Mini episode 314 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Sports Train, the finest pure sports talk show on both terrestrial and internet radio. Follow them on the web at thesportstrain.net.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode number 314 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the FDH Lounge preview of Breaking Bad episode 5.16, the series finale, which is called Felina. Throughout the second half of the final season of what has arguably been the greatest TV drama of all time, we're ranking the five most important developments of the most recent episode and assessing how they set the table for what's to come. Showrunner Vince Gilligan has warned that developments in the final eight episodes will come more fast and furious than ever before, partially because a greater span of time is being covered, and partially because an absolutely epic ending awaits. So the overall deck will be getting reshuffled quite regularly, making these episodes the most concentrated form of the epic thrill ride to date. Also, we will be continuing our coverage of this show even after it concludes with some retrospectives and examination of just what made this program so notable. Coming out of episode 5.15, here are the top five developments setting the tone for 5.16. Number five, the Better Call Saul number is discontinued, not even redirecting to a Cinnabon in Omaha. On a series with more than its fair share of callbacks, Walt's attempt to intimidate Saul again with his "It's not over until I say it is" rendition fell flat when a vicious coughing fit revealed him as the paper tiger he now is. Walt will now face the endgame without the savvy consigliere who has guided him through minefields since the latter days of Season 2. One should not underestimate the importance of this, especially since one of Saul's first great lines was, "You two suck at peddling meth." Walt isn't the criminal novice now that he was then, but neither was he somebody who was conditioned to lean on Albuquerque's shadiest but most entertaining lawyer for so many of his plans. He must navigate his final battles not only without his lawyer's input, but with the knowledge that his continued fight actually flies in the face of Saul's last piece of advice, which was to surrender for the good of his family. Walt's not ready to face the law, though, not just yet. Number four, the meth Nazis have covered themselves legally, even as they continue to flood the American Southwest and the Czech Republic with meth, and even as they continue their murderous ways. Todd was a busy boy in the last episode, breaking into the Schrader household to obtain Jesse's confession, intimidating Skyler to stay quiet about Lydia, murdering Andrea to reinforce to Jesse that he means business, and wooing Lydia with high-grade blue meth, preppy dress clothes, and his usual creepy demeanor. It's a measure of how safe Uncle Jack's gang feels that they're staying in the meth business, notwithstanding their $70 million windfall, and that they're okay with shooting Andrea in plain sight. But if it's common knowledge that the blue meth has hit Europe, such that even Charlie Rose knows about it, how has the DEA not honed in on Madrigal and Lydia once again? And wouldn't Jesse presumably be in the news as well with all of Walt's dirt out there? You have to think that no matter how removed he was from his parents' life, that they'd try to have the authorities looking for him, to say nothing of Hank and Gomi's presumably still undiscovered corpses. The series finale in all likelihood won't be about legal niceties, so the attempt to shut down the Aryans will have to come from Walt's machine gun. Number three. Jesse's escape attempt has horrible consequences, setting him up for what must be a final cathartic reunion with his old mentor, Mr. White. When Jesse made his way out of the cage, it was yet another of the series' great heart-pounding moments. But with no Mike the Cleaner available to dismantle the outside security system for him, he was recaptured and forced to bear witness to the latest atrocity on the Jesse Pinkman mental images highlight reel, the execution of the woman he broke up with to set her free of his horrible wife, Andrea. In a horrifying instant, her child was left motherless, and her life was sacrificed to the mean streets of Albuquerque just like her young brother. Jesse was not seen the rest of the episode, which spanned a couple of months, just like the mid-season finale, but you have to figure that his mental state remains miserable, but now determined to cooperate to at least spare Brock the fate that befell his mom. It seems likely that Walt will encounter Jesse after attacking the Aryans, leaving a final cathartic and likely violent confrontation between the two. Number two, Walt's last illusion about having embarked on this evil journey for his family is extinguished when his son tells him to go die already. Because of the tremendous writing and direction and the always masterful acting of Bryan Cranston, you certainly don't have to be Team Walt to have felt the sting of the words of the young man who now calls himself Flynn. Throughout the episode, Walt was grasping to find some way to make things right, from utilizing Saul to find a new hit team to go after the meth Nazis, to having the grid eraser promise to funnel his money to the family, to mailing a tiny chunk of it to Lewis's house. All of these attempts are unsuccessful, but the passionate denunciation of his own son is what truly makes this pathetic shell of a man hit rock bottom. An effort that he persuaded himself in the pilot episode was the only way to save his family turned into what he was the very last to realize, the complete and utter destruction of everyone in his orbit. Only then is he ready to turn himself in to take the remaining heat off of Skyler until the bartender does some very timely channel surfing. Number one, Walt's fleeting willingness to turn himself in is undercut by Charlie Rose's plot device. Walt has mentally surrendered to the inevitable and tipped the authorities to his present location when he settles in for one final drink. We know from the flash forwards that his saga doesn't end this way, but we don't know what drives him out of that chair. Throughout the episode, Walt's new infamy has been discussed, as the story that has existed in the shadows for the entire series erupted into the open at the end of Ozymandias. But the first TV glimpse we receive is what turns out to be Walt's jolt back into Heisenberg for one last ride. The feelings of unfairness that Elliot and Gretchen have always stirred in Walt have been critical to his motivation, as we witnessed in seasons 1 and 2 when they offered to pay for his treatment and give him a job in gestures he bitterly described as pity. They came to the surface not long before the season 5 mid-season finale when he told Jesse that he keeps exact tabs on their progress and that they motivated him to be in the Empire business. Now, in the midst of damage control about their past association with this now notorious criminal, they lit that fuse once again by dismissing his contributions to the company's rise on national television, directly challenging his version of events in a manner that's probably actually untrue. Just as cutting to him, however, was the reference to him having been a very nice guy in the past. Remember that the Heisenberg persona grew out of Walt's desire to shed the image of a nice guy, which he equates to being a doormat, and that he hates himself for what he perceives as having been a doormat when Walt and Gretchen made a fortune with gray matter without him. It can't be a coincidence that Walt was forced to confront these views of himself not long after his brutal conversation with Flynn, who, it's worth remembering, publicly celebrated Walt as the nicest guy in the world when he received media attention for the healthcare fundraiser website. The young man idolized his father when he saw him as simply being a great, caring man, and memorably rebuked Walt for being concerned about looking weak after Jesse beat him up in late season 4, telling his father that he only wanted to see him as a good man. Now that he's lost his only son's love and respect possibly forever, Walt is ripe for any appeal for the wicked Heisenberg to make one last ride rather than rotting away in a prison cell, and Elliot and Gretchen unwittingly revive the monster they helped create. Thanks to the flash forwards, we've seen Walt obtain his machine gun and ricin capsule for the endgame. Elliot and Gretchen might be tasting that poison before it's all said and done, although past would-be target Lydia could still find some in her fancy tea as well. You have to think Walt's going to be spitting hot lead at Uncle Jack's gang, given his rage at their murder of Hank and appropriation of his money. And when he finds Jesse alive, a moment that the finale probably won't deprive us of, the final coming to terms between the two men undoubtedly will be memorable. Last week, Ozymandias was universally hailed as one of the greatest episodes in TV history and the one that clinched all-time greatness for Breaking Bad. This week, pieces were reset methodically on the chessboard in an episode that counted only the shocking killing of Andrea and Flynn's outburst at Walt as huge moments. Now, in the series finale, so many factors across the board are up for grabs, not least of which Walt's own motivations. If you were to learn of spoilers that indicated that Walt's going to redeem himself in some small way before he dies, you probably wouldn't be shocked. If you learned that Walt's continuing pettiness and megalomania would drive him to final horrors that leave you rooting for his bloody demise, you probably wouldn't be shocked. And it's equally likely that as viewers, we'll experience these opposite emotions and much more next week. The phrase, "Remember My Name," has been a centerpiece of the promotion of the final Breaking Bad episodes. At the end of Granite State, Elliot and Gretchen reignited the desire in Heisenberg to have his name known to the world, not the meth pretenders in the Aryans bastardizing his recipe and spending his money. The implications next week when Walt goes on his final rampage, both on his enemies and, as always, the unwitting victims in his own family, will be remembered always, just like the name Heisenberg, and as viewers, we'll all remember where we were when the curtain on this unforgettable series came down. Thank you for tuning in to mini episode number 314.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.